Indie Girls with Soraya and Sherelle. We're two girls who love Formula One and IndyCar. This week is our Austrian GP recap. Before we get started on that, though, we're going to go over some news from the last week. So first off, we have that Pierre Gasly extended his contract with Alpine for 2025 and beyond. And then
everyone's favorite, Lance Stroll, extends with Aston Martin for 2025 and beyond. So, as expected, I feel like we all knew he was going to be driving. I feel like he'll be driving till his dad leaves the team. Now,
on to IndyCar side of things.
Or we just skip it and don't be depressed.
Okay. I will go over this part because I don't think Soraya is ready to talk about it yet.
I'll talk about it.
So, actually, earlier today, Arrow McLaren announced that Rossi and them will be parting ways at the end of the season, after having him on the team for the last 2 years.
But, on the bright side, Christian Lundgaard joins the team, and he signed a multi-year contract with Arrow McLaren starting in 2025. That was so melatonin.
I know, I was like, you don't seem very happy about that, Soraya. No. Soraya has mixed feelings. I think we both have mixed feelings. These are Soraya's two favorite drivers. And
favorite driver. They're like, both my favorite, like, two of my favorite drivers. And Arrow McLaren is my favorite team.
Yeah.
And so it's very hard when one of your, I'm about to dis on Pato. Okay, not dis on Pato, but I'm about to put Pato lower on my stool here. Rossi is my favorite Arrow McLaren driver. I love Rossi. And he's leaving my favorite team, which is very hard for me. But then you have my favorite driver joining my favorite team. So I'm very excited. But I'm also very sad because that means Rossi is leaving. And we don't know where he's going, which also makes me very sad. I hate when they do that. Mm-hmm. I hate when they do that.
Yeah. See, for me, I am very sad about Rossi, but, like, my favorite's still
your favorite's still team. There, so you're good.
But I am sad to see Rossi leave.
The sad thing
feel is, like, his dynamic with Pato and stuff is so fun to watch. And so
to see the dynamic between Lundgaard and Pato, because I feel like Lundgaard and Rossi are kind of similar in a way. In some ways.
In some ways, they're completely different.
In some ways, they're completely different. But I feel like it's gonna be interesting. But I wore Rossi's jersey today. And so when I got the news, I was very sad. I was like, he will no longer be in Papaya. Now I have to go get two new jerseys. I have to get a new Lundgaard jersey and a new Lundgaard hat for Arrow McLaren. And Rossi wherever he goes. But we still love Rossi, still gonna support him wherever he will end up. And I will always love Rossi, no matter what happens.
Yeah. But now on to the actual recap. So obviously this weekend was a sprint race weekend. So extra stuff to talk about. Before we get started on the, I guess, recap, who was your driver of the weekend?
That's a great question. I feel like my driver of the weekend has to be Oscar, which I feel like is kind of strange because, I don't know, he didn't really have necessarily the best weekend, but I feel like throughout all of everything that he was put through, which I feel like wasn't a lot, but everything that went down for him, he had managed to keep his head high and managed to, in the end, to get P2 in the race. Because Lando and Max had an incident. Mm-hmm. Nothing, just an incident.
It was funny, because that's actually who I was going to say.
That's why you shouldn't let me go first.
I am still going to say it, because, you know, okay. I feel like that's the only one I could really think of that, like, I feel like really deserves it. Because, like, when you look at the whole weekend as a whole, he did great in sprint qualifying. He did great in the sprint race. Actual qualifying for the race was not as good for him because his lap time got deleted. But then to come back in the race and go from 7th and make his way onto the podium I mean, obviously, yes, Max and Lando had their incident, which helped him out. But still, to come back and get the podium.
He was so, like, upset with his qualifying results. And so
I feel like, overall, just a good weekend from him. So he's going to be who I give that to. What is your low of the weekend, Soraya?
Do we have to talk about it?
How about I tell you Soraya's low of the weekend? The incident with Max and Lando, where Lando then got out.
Lando retired on lap 66.
Yep.
That was my low of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
After, he literally had such a good weekend. Like, he was one driver, like, if him and Oscar both really impressed me this weekend.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely phenomenal to see McLaren up there fighting with Red Bull. I will not lie, it's been one of my favorite things to watch recently. But he had an amazing sprint qualifying, an amazing sprint race, an amazing qualifying, and for a while there, I won't get into it because we'll talk about it later, but I definitely thought there was a possibility of him winning his second race. I won't lie. And that got shot down, so that was kind of my low of the weekend. It was like all on a high, and then it was just like, that was my low of the weekend.
I have a couple, and I'm not going to choose the same as you on this one, because let's talk about other things. Okay, they both actually were in the race, but Charles's race and getting that front wing damage early on, so he was, like, nowhere the whole race. And then my other one was, obviously, because I'm a Checo fan, and even though these last few weeks have been hard, and it's like, okay, whatever at this point, it was still sad to see, obviously he still tried to fight, but the giant hole in his side pod made it difficult to make much progress during the race, so... Yeah, those were my two kind of low notes.
I don't lie, I kind of forgot Checo was racing this weekend. No one talked about him very much.
Yeah.
He was not talked about, and normally Checo gets talked about.
Well, because, they mentioned him plenty in qualifying, because they're like, Checo's still off the pace.
I didn't watch qualifying.
I only watched a little bit of it, but... In both sprint qualifying and... Yeah. But, yeah, after the race, when they showed the picture of his side pod. So, to go from lap one and having that incident, and then to continue the race with a giant hole in the side pod. He said he was sliding around like a duck.
Okay, Pato. Up with Mexicans and ducks.
Okay, but now into the actual racing and recap stuff. So, sprint qualifying. Yes. I don't know what that was.
You said it right.
Okay.
You said it.
My brain is not.
You said it right.
But then my brain was like, no, that's not right. And then
I was like, why are you stopping?
Sprint qualifying. Okay, Soraya, you get started again while my brain catches up.
I feel like to start off with, we had so many track limits. So many. This is just throughout the whole sprint qualifying. So many times were deleted. And I felt like it was like the main thing. They changed it this time.
It's been better than the past years.
It has.
But it wasn't still the best.
So many. And, I mean, to start off with, we had Yuki sliding off the track in SQ1. And then, I think that was really the biggest thing that happened was track limits, and Yuki slid off towards the end of SQ1. But managed to make it through. And then out of SQ1, we had Zhou, Albon, Bottas, Hülkenberg, and Ricciardo. So, on the bright side of all of that... Logan Sargeant out-qualified his teammate for the very first time this season.
Yes. I was very happy to see that.
Some people don't count it because it's not an actual qualifying and it's a sprint qualifying, but I'm counting it.
Me too.
And this one I thought was kind of odd. They talked about, at least the commentator, I can't remember which commentating I was on, if I was on international or the normal F1 TV commentators, but Max had to change his crash helmet due to an issue with his tear-off. So apparently there was...
Oh, I did hear this one.
...dust in his tear-offs that was causing him to, like... There was an issue with his, like, with seeing things. And the commentator said it was really weird because when they put the tear-ons on the helmet, it's done in, like, basically a surgical room is what they reference. Like, it's super sterile. There's not dust and everything because when you're having surgery, that's like, you can't have dust in there. And so they thought that was really weird. They wonder if, like, something happened. But that was very interesting. I feel like we don't ever hear about tear-offs unless if they end up in someone's car.
Yeah.
Because they just nonchalantly just tear it off and throw it outside of their car. Like,
yeah.
It's trash. Mm-hmm. And so they end up in someone's car sometimes. But that was talked about for a while in sprint qualifying. And then, of course, we had Sargeant making it into SQ2. Sadly, he only had one lap, and he didn't even have a good one. He reported back, and he said he didn't have a good T1 and T2, which caused him to not have a good starting, which then caused it, so he didn't make it into SQ3. But he did a phenomenal job making it into SQ2, in my opinion. Out in SQ2 was Sargeant, Yuki, Alonso, Stroll, and Kevin Magnussen. On another surprising note, Alpine, don't know what they did to their car, but they have been making it into Q3s and SQ3s and being up towards the top, middle-ish with fighting, so
I feel like they've definitely improved in qualifying and, like, actually making it through.
And not being at the back.
That doesn't necessarily always correlate into the races, but no. I feel like at least qualifying has improved for them.
Yeah. For sure. They made it into SQ3, and I think they made it into Q3.
But yeah. Talking about SQ3, everybody kind of waited for the last minute to go out. So that it was about, like, 3 minutes left when everybody decided to kind of go out and start doing their runs, just because there's not enough time to really do two runs in SQ3. So they all waited till last minute. But in some instances, that's not always the best, because as Charles figured out, if you have an issue and that delays you at all, sometimes you don't get to do a lap at all. So yeah, Charles ended up having an issue before he got out of pit lane.
Anti-stall.
Yeah. Went into anti-stall, was able to get it going, and he tried to, you know, do a warm-up lap and make it to the checkered, like, make it, to the line before the checkered flag came out. But it came out, like, 2 seconds before he passed, like, went over the line. So, he did not get to do a lap. And so, started, the sprint race from, P10.
Because they DNF'd.
Yeah. And then McLaren did a great job in sprint qualifying, obviously. Lando was only 0.093 seconds away from Max. And obviously Oscar was right there behind them for the start. So, good job from McLaren. I feel like they've really stepped it up this year. And are going to be, I feel like, a fight for the rest of the year for Red Bull, so.
I was like, he was only, like, 0.2 seconds off of Norris. So.
Yeah.
Probably, like, 0.11 off of, or I guess, not 0.11. Yeah, 0.11 off of Max. On to the sprint race. We started off, the commentators, like, right away mentioned that Lando wasn't feeling good before the race, so could this affect his race? Was the big question, because they were like, Lando could win the race, but could him not feeling good affect it? And then Alex started from the pit lane because he decided to change his, his setup in his car. Decided to change it last minute. And then we go to start the race. And it's so funny because it was, okay, they're like, they'll get the green flag waving, five lights. Just kidding! Yeah. So we had an aborted start, which meant an extra formation lap, which meant one less lap in the race.
Mm-hmm. Alex was able to do that second lap, like, formation lap, though, because, you know, he had already gone out of the garage down to the end of the pit lane, and they can't have the, you know, fans come blow on the car, so... It was only fair that he got to go do that formation lap, or his car would have overheated.
I also think that because considering it was, they took it off of, I think they were saying because they also took the lap off of
the race,
yeah, that he could have had an advantage. Mm-hmm. So, with like fuel and everything, so he had to also go and use that fuel as well. It was aborted at the start because there were photographers standing behind the barrier where they weren't supposed to be at turn one. Mm-hmm. Is what we kind of got from race control. I don't think it was ever really confirmed, but that's what they were.
That's what the commentators were saying. It was interesting because I think they mentioned it was on both starts. Well, like... Both times he lined up on the grid, that Charles started like further back from the yellow line,
like way back,
then
good centimeters back,
then like normal. So he was kind of like further back in his spot than he normally is.
Yeah.
But then onto the actual start, Max obviously got away well. And then the McLarens kind of. We're fighting for that second place, but Lando was able to hold that position for the start. Charles had a great start, made it up to 7th. And then Alpine, not the greatest of starts for them. They kind of both fell back somewhat. Soraya looks like she's trying not to sneeze.
I have to sneeze and it's not coming out and it's driving me crazy. Anyways. Where are we? Oh. McLaren, since they've been super fast recently, were trying to catch up to Max and they were all at one point fighting for P1 and... What was it, lap 3 and 4? Lando fought Max for P1, gets it on P5, and everyone was like, you could hear the crowd kind of just like cheering him on, but then he loses it in the next corner, and then Oscar was fighting Norris for P2, and Norris loses P2 and P1, and goes down to P3.
Mm-hmm.
Which... was, like, literally all in, like, the first opening laps. And I was like, wow, we're gonna have so much action in the first laps, and then there's gonna be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what?
It's pretty much what happened.
Pretty much what happened.
We got a DRS train going from, like, P2 to P7, and they just kind of...
Kind of
sat there. You had a little bit of fighting for P4 between George, Carlos, and Lewis.
Which I will not lie, it was also really nice to see. I don't know about you, but it was nice to see that we had some kind of like, I wouldn't, top midfield fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like with the sprint races, we see a lot more of like the fighting because everyone wants to be in the top 8 versus the top 10.
Yeah.
And so we see a lot more fighting towards the top, which I feel like is kind of, I don't know. I at least enjoy it. What I don't enjoy...
Is the Alpines fighting each other?
Alpines fighting each other, because I feel like...
It is the constant, like, I feel like it is just Alpine's thing. They are always fighting each other.
You want to know? Okay, so I was watching the race back, because I forgot to take notes. So I was watching the race in 30 seconds, which means it goes back to the F1 TV commentators commentating it. And this kind of goes ahead, but it also has to do with the sprint race. They're talking about how Alcon and Gasly were fighting, and Alcon pushes Gasly off the track. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a back and forth thing. And one of the commentators go, I feel like it's an Alcon thing just to go after his teammates and always push them off the track. And I was like, that was savage though.
But it's
it is.
But Alcon is always the one pushing, fighting with his teammates.
Yeah.
You go back all the way to when he was teammates with Checo. Checo got so much, like, you know, hate for the battles with Alcon. But I don't think it was Checo's fault most of the time. Alcon has a thing about...
Okay, it's not even his teammate because... With teammates. He has a... Him and Max have never been teammates, but they have so much beef. And
okay,
it's so funny.
But it is, like, every teammate he has. Teammate. And I get, like, yes, you're trying to battle your teammate because, really, they're the ones in the same car as you. And so, like, you want to show that you're the better driver. But... The amount of, like,
to the
crashes he has caused...
Where you push them off the track.
Because he is... Yeah.
I was just laughing at the fact that the commentator was like...
It's an Alcon thing.
And I was like, that is straight facts, but also, like, that commentator's story is savage. We usually listen to Crofty, who's on the International channel, just because I love his commentating, and that's what I started watching him on, because my dad loves Crofty. Also, if you ever see a this is totally off topic, but if you ever see a picture of Crofty, he does not look like he matches his voice.
Yeah.
It's not the guy you expect to see on the other side. And anyways, it was funny. But I think the other commentators, that was a straight savage of them, and I low-key laughed, and my roommate was like, what is going on? And I was like, nothing. Don't mind me. I'm just dying over here.
Yeah. But we had a battle at the end for P2 as Lando was getting closer to Oscar about lap 16. And kind of there till, I feel like kind of the end, they were pretty close. Lando ended up getting the fastest lap. He also got, you know, two warnings about track limits.
It was like they were just a second off from each other.
Was not able to pass Oscar in the end. So we had, obviously, Max winning, then Oscar, then Lando, with Russell in fourth, Sainz fifth, Lewis sixth, Charles seventh, Checo eighth. So those were your points.
Who are the top 10? You have two more.
Top 10. Okay, after that...
I believe in you.
So that was the end of the point.
Do I need to give you a hint?
Probably.
Haas driver.
It was K-Mag, wasn't it?
It was K-Mag.
Yeah, I was like, he finished above. And then... Was it one of the Alpines?
Nope. Alpines were behind this one driver.
Give me a hint.
Green team.
Alonso.
Nope.
Stroll.
Yep.
I remember
Alonso
that now.
Had a
horrible... He had a horrible... Yeah.
Horrible.
This weekend was kind of not great for Alonso.
Nope.
Yeah. And then actual qualifying, we kind of forgot to take notes on.
That was my job and I slacked. I'm so sorry. I kind of got distracted by paying attention to qualifying and actually... Because my sister and my dad are there. And I kind of wanted to see if I could see them because I feel like during qualifying breaks, they show more of the fans. And so I was very focused on seeing if I could see my dad and my sister. I don't think I saw them, which kind of made me sad. But I was kind of more distracted. I was kind of paying attention.
But I feel like there wasn't like a whole lot in qualifying that was super, like, obviously Oscar got his lap time deleted. So he ended up further back. But I feel like the top 10 or so is about what you'd expect. You had Max, Lando, George, Sainz, Carlos, Lewis,
Hamilton, Charles. I love how we're saying, like,
I'm saying first, last. Then you had Oscar, Checo, Hulkenberg, Alcon.
Alcon
as your top 10. So kind of like, you know, kind of what we've come to expect as a top 10 lately. Yeah. So that was that for qualifying. But onto the race. We had another driver start from pit lane this time. This time it was Joe.
We had the last race, we also had someone starting from pit lane.
Yes. It's kind of, I feel like, been a thing lately.
It was funny. I don't know if you saw the one of the question thingies that they do during the race weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions to Max was, when are you taking that grid penalty to change your engine? And everyone, like, looks at Max, and Max was like, you'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know why that popped into my head, but I think it was because everyone's starting from pit lane, and I was like, wow. When is Max's turn?
Yeah. But lots of fighting within the first few laps.
My sister just posted how she misses America, and I had to show Sherelle. Sorry. I get distracted when my sister sends me things.
Lots of fighting within the first few laps. We had, obviously, Oscar, Checo, and Charles kind of fighting on the opening lap. Oscar and Checo kind of hit, causing some damage. As we talked about earlier, Checo had a giant hole in his side pod. And
I was waiting for you to notice.
Yeah, Checo kind of pushed Oscar off the track. And then, obviously, Charles, as we talked about earlier, got damage as well from Oscar and him hitting each other. So Oscar was just kind of fighting with everybody, causing lots of damage.
Even to his own car.
Yeah.
On lap three, we had, which I thought was kind of funny, we had the
battle of P3.
The battle of P3 on lap three between Mercedes. I couldn't make that rhyme, but I tried to give a way to make it rhyme. And then we had Oscar has been battling since the very beginning to pass Checo and finally passed him on lap seven.
I'm surprised Checo held him off for that long because of that giant hole.
I am too. I wonder if it was like Oscar was trying to save something. I don't know.
But yeah.
This, I don't know if they showed this on the international channel. I can't remember. But a radio message pops up. And Nico is told to save tires. And he goes, both cars are just mine. And he gets, both cars are saving. And he goes, F that. That was the end of the message. And I was like,
sounds
what?
Like Nico, though.
I was like so confused because I don't think K-Mag was anywhere near him. No.
They were right by each other in the beginning.
They were,
I mean, but like a few laps in, they were,
I guess it's true.
They were right by each other.
And he was like, no, F that, and just goes for it. And I was just like, that's a very Hulkenberg thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was also, okay, my sister has been telling me so many things that like we don't see because they don't,
yeah.
You know the fan stage that they do?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing an interview. And Hulkenberg speaks German, and Austria also speaks German. And so Hulkenberg was speaking German to the fans. And the commentator goes, excuse me, no, we're speaking English. And he just sits down and kind of just gives her a look. Mm-hmm. And then they asked a question, and Hulkenberg answers it. And it was, like, taking all the time, and they're like, okay, what about Kevin? Does he have anything to say? And Hulkenberg goes, no, he has nothing to say. And Kevin's just sitting there. And they go through the rest of the interview, and then at the very end, when they, like, go and, like, throw things into the fans,
mm-hmm.
Hulkenberg, you know, he's like, the commentator goes, now you can say the things you want to say in German, and he says the things he wants to say and runs off the stage, grabs his hats, and starts throwing it, and fans are cheering, and the other girl goes, Kevin, do you have anything you want to say? And Kevin's trying to speak as everyone's cheering, and you can hear nothing. And my sister goes, I never realized the dynamic between those two, because no one talks about it.
Yeah.
No one. You would think that Kevin is so much, would be the one to just, like, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, but, like, Hulkenberg, when you see him, like, he's very much just, like, the, no, I don't care about you. I love Hulkenberg. He reminds me.
I love them both, actually. I do too. That team cracks me up.
They're so funny. But, like, because all you, I don't know, if you, especially if you come from Drive to Survive, all you know of K-Mag, it was K-Mag that slammed the door, right?
Yeah.
Gunther's door? So that's all you think about Kevin is when he gets mad, he slams doors. But he's actually very different. Hulkenberg is more of the one who does things and has the attitude like that. So,
yeah.
That was just, I don't know. Has nothing to do with it, but that's what the F that reminded me of, is my sister telling me that story.
But moving on, we have, so Alonso hits Joe and ends up getting a 10-second penalty, which he served during his pit stop. Can I just say, watching that pit stop, you're like, because they sit there for 10 seconds before they can touch the car, and so you're like, this thing's never gonna end!
Okay, I think it's so funny. When we think about 10 seconds, when we're not watching a race, like, we think of it as nothing. But the moment a car has to go to pit lane and sit for 5 seconds or 10 seconds, it feels like an eternity. I don't know about you guys, but I know Sherelle and I will literally be like, that felt so long. Mm-hmm. And it was 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But it felt like an eternity.
Yeah.
This one was funny. Lando or Oscar? I think it was Oscar was driving. It was Oscar. Was driving behind Hamilton, and Hamilton's getting ready to pit, and kind of makes a mistake and barely crosses pit entry lane, and then swerves back in. And all you hear on the radio is, Hamilton crossed pit lane line. And he goes, his engineer or strategist or whatever goes, duly noted. And then we hear, 5-second penalty for Lewis Hamilton.
But you know what?
He took responsibility for it.
That's good. But he's not the only one that got a penalty for that.
They were the only one that mentioned it, or maybe I have it later on.
Because Albon also got a penalty for crossing the pit lane line.
But yeah, when he was told that he had a 5-second penalty, he goes, my bad. I'm so sorry. I'll do better. And I was like, whoa, someone's apologizing for a mistake that they made?
So that is one of the, you know, I just remembered Albon getting a penalty for that as well.
See, when I first watched the race, I didn't take notes. So I had to go back today and take notes, and they didn't mention that, and I kind of forgot about that.
But then we had the Alpines and Alonso fighting for P11. And then we had Alcon and Gasly obviously fighting in that. Alcon pushed Gasly off the track. And then a couple of laps later, Gasly gets back by. You know, great fight between them. But also, I'm ready for them to stop fighting.
I'm not ready for... I love when teams fight. I'm just ready for Alcon to stop. Fighting his teammates.
Yeah.
And pushing them off the track and causing incidents. That's what I'm ready
for.
Love Alcon. I feel like this has become a diss Alcon. We love him, but we're being completely honest.
Like, it's kind of after a while. After a while, when it's happened to every teammate he's had, it's like, okay.
Who was his last teammate? Alonso?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was.
Yeah.
That was rough. No words need to be said except for rough.
Yeah.
Max was reporting issues with his engine or his power or something. The funny thing is when he was saying this, he said, "I can't hold them off anymore." Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the Haas drive. One of the Haas drivers was behind them, or both of them. I don't remember. One of the Haas drivers.
They had been lapped, hadn't they?
They had been lapped, but he was like, "I can't hold them back. So if they pass Max, they unlap themselves."
Yeah.
And Max was like, "I can't hold them back anymore." And so they immediately had to pit him again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Norris pit, of course, because he reacted to Max pitting.
Yeah.
And in this case, when they pitted previously, Max kind of took off, and in a way, it was, I see both sides. Lando thinks he impeded him getting into his pit box, and it was an unsafe release. Everyone else, like, Max and his team don't think it was, and so there, it was, they investigated, no investigation was needed further, but there was an issue with a rear tire on this pit stop and ended up making it so Max had to sit there and wait, and he took no chances and waited for Norris to get by so he didn't have a penalty.
Mm-hmm. But going back out, on lap, so lap 52, Max ends up locking up, but still obviously stays in front. Checo also, you know, had a very long pit stop on that lap. I say very long. But 8 seconds is a long pit stop.
Is such a long pit stop when their average is like 1 to 2 seconds.
Yeah. I was like, it feels so long for it to be 8 seconds. And then going on to lap 54, we had Lando and Max fighting for P1.
They fought till lap 61? 2? No, 63.
Yeah, so they spent, like, a good 10 laps fighting each other. On lap 57, Max complains about something being wrong with his car and having no grip. And then lap 59, Lando passes Max, but off the track, so he has to give the spot back.
Strategically giving the spot back without losing too much time, so he can still continue to fight Max.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, it doesn't stop there. lap 61, Norris tries several more times to get around Max and does not succeed. But also on that lap, they warned Lando that he is under investigation for track limits. And then on lap 63, Norris does overtake Max, or tries to overtake Max. Max goes off the track and remains, like, keeps his position. The question was, does Max have to give the position back? Because where Norris was, I think he was slightly ahead on the apex.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ahead on the apex, you have to, and the other person goes off the track, the person that's ahead on the apex gets the position. So that was under investigation, and since Max didn't give it back, there was a thought that he could have had 5 second penalty, which then Norris would also have a 5 second penalty, and it would just, like, cancel it off.
Yeah.
I guess on lap 64, Lando and Max touch. Max had got a puncture, because both of their rear tires hit, so they both got a puncture. Drove him back to the pits. Max was able to change his tire and get back out. But when Lando got into the pits, he had to retire his car.
Did he retire right away?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I would say he also, you know, to make matters, I mean, not that it really matters at this point because he retired, but he was given a 5 second penalty for the track limits.
I think that goes on to the next race, though.
I don't think so.
Certain penalties do.
We'll see. Obviously, with those two having to pit, Russell is able to take the lead.
They didn't pit when he took the lead, though.
Well, yes. Okay, when they were still on track.
Yeah.
But with the fight and them getting punctures, Russell took the lead. And then Oscar was able to get past Carlos and finish P2. Which is good for him. I feel like Oscar deserved it after kind of a, you know, trying week with the qualifying and stuff, so it's good for him to get P2. Happy to see Carlos on the podium as well in P3. That's kind of the race. It was obviously good to see another driver get a win this year. We now have 5 different drivers who have won this year.
Better than last year.
And so we will, you know, we are excited to see what happens this coming weekend, as we have 2 races this weekend. We have both F1 and IndyCar. F1 will be at Silverstone for the Great Britain. I love watching them at Silverstone. And then we have IndyCar at Mid-Ohio. So,
the Indy 200. I was going to say something, but as soon as I went to go say it,
you forgot?
I forgot what I was going to say. So, obviously, it wasn't super important, but we love you guys. And this has been our... Oh, I know what I was going to say. Here in a couple weeks, we will have a special guest on our podcast to go and to talk about her experience at the Austrian GP. I'm excited for you guys to hear about it. She's been telling me about it, and she has loved it so much. So we're going to, because we talked about Sherelle's experience at COTA, mm-hmm. we talked about our experience at the Indy 500 and at the Gallagher Grand Prix, so you can kind of hear someone else's experience at another F1 race, and so she won't necessarily give you like a run-by-run, but she'll kind of give you different things she's done and different things she's kind of did throughout the F1 weekend, so... Stay tuned for that, because I'm excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's so excited to talk to you guys, too.
And I feel like it's always nice to hear, like, about the different races and, like, from someone who's attended in person. Because all the races have different things to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always nice to hear kind of, you know, about that race and what they, like, you know, what it's like to attend in person and what they offer.
So, be on the lookout for that. It'll be out here in, I think, like, a month or so, whenever... I think it's on a race on a weekend, or on a week we don't have a race. So whenever that is, be on the lookout for that. So excited about it. But this has been F1 Indie Girls, and we will see you next week.
Bye! Bye.